meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Tony, Christina, Armin, and we've got a guest today who timidly, in all humility, chooses not to come on the air, but she should. We're blessed with the presence of the wife of Roy's wife.
get him all in by the end of the year.
Angelica, who does a lot for the parish.
Yes, she does. And we're blessed to have her.
Much more than Tony.
A lot for me. Huh? A lot
Tony's
for me.
Tony's just on the side.
We told Tony, why don't we say he's got to be nice to her.
Yeah, it's Christmas, Tony.
But we know who's in charge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Merry Christmas. Can we say that already?
Yes,
we can.
Because we've got, I say this is the shortest Advent, and we'll be going right from the fourth Sunday right into Christmas. So I had the children's Mass today. This was their last Mass for this year.
Of the year.
Because after today, they're in break.
So they're off for 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, that's great.
2 full weeks. And had to ask them at the end, you know, how many days are there in Christmas? And, you know, the little kids, 1, 2, 3. I said, no, the eighth graders. I said, the eighth graders are only, yes, 12. 12
days of Christmas.
Christmas to the Epiphany. So we talked a little bit. Well, let's pray, and then we can.
Yeah.
We got to do Barrington Bunny, and then I want to share a little Christmas reflection. And because that Barrington Bunny story will kind of tie right into Christmas, really, now from the crib to the cross, right? From the crib to the cross of Calvary. Anyway, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech you, Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus,
I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America and the entire world to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you, reclaim this land and the world for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, the sins of the world, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and to the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. And trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer us. O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So we had the Mass this morning for the children. Let's see if you guys can figure this out. Okay, this is kind of test time again, maybe. So I asked the students, and I answered the question, of course, what's at the heart of Christmas? So what is at the what really is at the very heart of Christmas?
Christ.
Christ.
Yeah. Well, of course. but what event in the celebration of the season of Christmas, what event is primary?
The incarnation.
The incarnation. Okay. True. Absolutely. But what? Okay, the event of the incarnation. Where does that? Where is that manifested? In the here and now, of our time. Because we're celebrating that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He was born of Mary in Bethlehem, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the incarnation, God's inbreaking into history, spared himself nothing of what we suffer. But what in the here and now, 2,000 years later?
The Eucharist.
Yes.
The Holy
Christmas.
Christmas.
The Mass of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I want them to get that. I say, how many people? You know, people are out there saying Merry Christmas. Well, mm-hmm. I said, okay, I don't, even if people are saying Happy Holidays, I said, but you got to know, holiday is comes from holy days. Happy Holy Days. Happy Holidays. And Christmas, the Mass of Christ. So the central event of Christmas is the Mass of Christ, which is a perpetuation of the mystery of the Incarnation and the Paschal mystery, from the crib to the cross, you know? And so, and then, of course, let's see, this is the four Christmases or the four Masses of Christ celebrated in Christmas, on Christmas, are what? Beginning with the first Mass,
of the genealogy.
The genealogy, which puts everything in a historical perspective, because there's no religion. You got to think about this, everybody. No religion was foretold. You had thousands of years of preparation for the inbreaking of God into history and for the atoning death of God, Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, were monotheistic, three persons in one God. God the Father so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save the world. So the genealogy puts everything in historical perspective. And there were good characters and bad characters, those who were faithful, those who were unfaithful. But truly, the story of God's fidelity, God, you know, keeping faith in spite of people's infidelities, their idolatries, they're turning away, their apostasies, you know, God chastise and punish, bring them to their senses, bring them down in order to rebuild them, always ensures for himself a remnant. So the Mass begins with the Mass of the genealogy. And then the second Mass would be the Mass of
the angels.
The angels at midnight, which is heaven's proclamation to the world that indeed God has been born, that he has taken on our flesh, God, the visitation of God. So heaven proclaims the proclamation of heaven with the angels at midnight. We celebrate that Mass, the Mass of the angels. And then the next Mass at dawn would be
the shepherds.
The Mass of the shepherds. So they were the first human beings to have received the message, apart from the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, who are principal characters in the story, but the shepherds were the first to receive the proclamation from heaven and to put their eyes on the child, the Christ child. Okay, and then the fourth Mass?
The Word.
The Mass of the Word. And the Word was made flesh. The Word was, I didn't bring my Bible with me, but it's just the beautiful opening of John's Gospel. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Always was, always will be, without beginning, without end. The light came into the darkness. People, rather, sadly chose darkness. They chose not to come to the light for fear their deeds be exposed. So we talked about that, or I spoke about that to the students. And then, you know, just some of the, I wonder if you can figure this out. So, of course, we talked about the Advent wreath and, you know, the wreath itself, which is very popular in Christmas. What does it mean? But that God is without beginning, without end, right? And it's evergreen. He is forever. The candy cane, of course, you know, they all kind of got that. You know, what's the traditional color of a candy cane? And now you got all kinds of colors. But the traditional color, when you think of a candy cane, you think of the shepherd's, well,
shepherd's
it's staff. But the color white and red, they got those colors. But the shepherd's staff, to represent the good shepherd, the supreme shepherd, and white, you know, that he was without sin, though he took our sins to himself, the red in the shedding of his blood. Mm. So the red represents his blood, the white and red of the candy cane. Also, as people say, if you turn it upside down, what is
Jesus.
It? It's the Jesus, J for Jesus. Mm-hmm. But what about this one, the Christmas tree? Why the Christmas tree? Why the Christmas tree?
The Christmas tree.
And
no, well, the shape of it too.
What about the shape of it?
Well, it's like
a triangle.
The triangle, the Trinity.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Father, Son.
Oh, that's yeah, a, hey, that's the Trinity. A good, that's yeah. a, I'll add that to my. that's a good one. That's good. You're very smart.
You need something to put all the ornaments on and the star.
The star.
Can't do it
the
without
star,
a tree. David.
But why the? Of course, the evergreen tree. We know is the tradition. The evergreen forever.
Right. Yeah.
But why the tree? Why do we decorate trees at Christmas time?
The tree of life. No.
Yes.
Tree of life. Exactly.
Because it's a celebration that because Jesus was crucified on the wood of the tree, the wood of the cross, the tree, the wood of the tree. And so the decorating of the Christmas tree, evergreen, forever, mm-hmm. that he defeats death and sin. So it's the victory. It's a sign. Hey, victory with V. There you go again. Yeah, upside down. That
upside
would be upside down.
Down. No, upside down. Upside
down. Anyway, but I like that whole, the Trinity, the three corners. That's good. But the, and I don't know if that's, you know, the case or not, but that
well,
really makes
today.
Sense.
But there's a lot of symbolism. See,
right.
That's our faith is so full, it's so rich in symbolism.
Yeah. So you want the children to understand the significance. Mm-hmm. This is really our holy day, Christmas, and at the center is the perpetuation of the incarnation. Because in the Holy Mass, and I says, when you come to Mass, you're coming to Bethlehem to adore and to behold, and you're also coming to Calvary again from the crib to the cross. Again, where was he born? In Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. He was laid in a trough. It became the crib. That's a place where the animals feed from to signify that this child is destined as wheat. But I forgot to say this to the children, that as wheat is crushed in order to become bread, that this child is destined to be crushed, that he make himself bread for the journey. The incarnate God would passing through death into the resurrection and remain with us. As he says, Emmanuel, God with us, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am you will be, but I'm not going to abandon you. My little flock, I will remain with you. We can go back into the evening of the resurrection, you know, stay with us, Lord, right? The two disciples, stay with us. And he stayed with them. And he recognized him in the breaking of the bread when he vanished. So he all that is says something about the identity of this child, the identity and the destiny of this child. It's very interesting. No, there's a lot more too. But let's we'll take a break and then we'll come back. I'm going to try to get all this in today. I do want to read Barrington Bonney, and then go into Christmas. Just a little bit, expound a little bit more on the meaning or the why of this season we're beginning to embark upon. So don't go away. Stay with us for the story. It's Christmas story, Barrington Bonney. Okay, don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
Oh, hello, elves.
Hello, Santa.
Why are you singing?
Santa, we're practicing to sing on the Winds of Change Christmas program.
Oh, you silly elf. Winds of Change will be featuring the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul.
Santa, can I sing with them?
You silly elf. Would you like to get a lump of coal in your stocking?
On Monday, December 25th, Christmas Day, from noon until 1, enjoy the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul on Winds of Change on AM 750.
I would be really happy to sing.
You are a silly elf.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to
The Winds of Change.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know how St. Nicholas became known as the defender of innocent human life? Well, when I was still Bishop of Myra, some townspeople begged me to stop the execution of 3 innocent men unjustly sentenced to death. With no time to lose, I rushed to the place where the first of the 3 men was about to be beheaded. Stepping forward, I grabbed the sword from the executioner's hands and threw it to the ground. Filled with fear, the corrupt judge fell to his knees and confessed he had taken a bribe in return for the death sentences. And the 3 innocent men were set free. Since then, I'm known as the defender of innocent human life. May this holy season make us truly grateful for the gift of every human life created in God's own image, as we proclaim, Christ is born. Glorify him.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us already. Merry Christmas, even though we're not you're quite there. We're getting there in a couple of days. But let's, all right, so the story. This is Barrington Bonney. Actually, if I had more time, and we can do that still because we'll be in the Christmas season But one of my favorites is the Serbian Christmas.
The Serbian Christmas. Yeah. Beautiful, too.
Beautiful. But I do love this story, and I read it to the 8th graders when I had their class on Wednesday, and they had never heard it before, and the teacher said, I've never heard that story before. Wow. Says, you know, but anyway, once upon a time, yes, once upon a time in a large forest, there lived a very furry bunny, and he had one lop ear, a tiny black nose, and unusually shiny eyes. His name was Barrington. Barrington, to be honest, was not really a very handsome bunny. He was brown and speckled, and his ears didn't stand upright, but he could hop, and he was, as I said, very furry. In a way, winter is fun for bunnies, after all. It gives him an opportunity to hop in the snow and then turn around to see where they have hopped. So in a way, winter was fun for Barrington. But in another way, winter made Barrington rather sad. For you see, winter marked the time when all of the animal families got together in their cozy homes to celebrate Christmas. Now, he could hop and he was very furry, but as far as Barrington knew, he was the only bunny in the forest. When Christmas Eve finally came, Barrington, he didn't feel like going home all by himself. So he decided he would hop for a while in the clearing in the center of the forest. Hop, hop, hippity hop. Barrington made tracks in the fresh snow. Hop, hop, hippity hop. Then he cocked his head and looked back at the wonderful designs he had made. Bunnies, he thought to himself, boy, they can hop. And they are very, very, very warm because of how furry they are. But Barrington didn't really know whether or not this was true of all bunnies, since he had never met another bunny. Now, when it got too dark to see the tracks he was making, Barrington made up his mind to go home. On his way, however, he passed a large oak tree. High in the branches, there was a great deal of excited chattering going on. Barrington looked up. It was the squirrel family. What a marvelous time they seemed to be having. Hello up there, called Barrington. Hello down there, came the reply. Hey, having a Christmas party? Asked Barrington. Oh, yes, answered the squirrels. It's Christmas Eve. Everybody's having a Christmas party. May I come to your party? Barrington asked softly. Well, sure. Are you a squirrel? No. What are you then? A bunny. A bunny? Yes, a bunny. Well, how can you come to the party if you're a bunny? Bunnies can't climb trees. Oh, that's true, said Barrington thoughtfully. Hey, but I can hop, and I'm very furry and warm. We're sorry, called the squirrels. We don't know anything about hopping and being furry. But we do know that in order to come to our house, you have to be able to climb trees. Oh, well, said Barrington. Hey, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, chattered the squirrels. And the unfortunate bunny hopped off toward his tiny house. It was beginning to snow when Barrington reached the river. Near the riverbank was a wonderfully constructed house of sticks and mud. Inside there was singing. "It's the beavers," thought Barrington. "Maybe they will let me come to their party." And so he knocked on the door. "Who's out there?" called a voice. "Barrington Bunny," he replied. There was a long pause, and then a shiny beaver head broke the water. "Hello, Barrington," said the beaver. "Hey, may I come to your Christmas party?" asked Barrington. The beaver thought for a while, and then he said, "Well, sure. I suppose so. Why not? Do you know how to swim?" No, said Barrington. "Hey, but I can hop, and I'm very furry and warm." "Sorry," said the beaver. "You know, I don't know anything about hopping and being furry, but I do know that in order to come to our house, you have to be able to swim." "Oh, well," Barrington muttered, his eyes now filling with tears. "I suppose that's true. Hey, Merry Christmas." "Merry Christmas," called the beaver, and he disappeared beneath the surface of the water. Even as furry as he was, Barrington was starting to get cold. And while the snow was falling so hard and that his tiny bunny eyes could scarcely see what was ahead of him. He was almost home, however, when he heard the excited squeaking of field mice beneath the ground. "It's a party," thought Barrington, and suddenly he blurted out through his tears, "Hello, hello, field mice. This is Barrington Bunny. May I come to your party?" But the wind was howling so loudly and Barrington was sobbing so much that, well, no one heard him. And when there was no response at all, Barrington, well, he just sat down in the snow and he began to cry. He cried with all his might. "Bunnies," he thought. "Bunnies aren't good to anyone. What good is it to be furry and to be able to hop if you don't have any family on Christmas Eve?" Barrington, he cried and he cried. When he stopped crying, he began to bite on his bunny's foot. But he did not move from where he was sitting in the snow. Suddenly, Barrington was aware he was not alone. He looked up, strained his shiny eyes to see who was there. To his surprise, he saw a great silver wolf. The wolf was large and strong, and his eyes flashed fire. He was the most beautiful animal Barrington had ever seen. For a long time, the silver wolf didn't say anything at all. He just stood there, looked at Barrington with those terrible eyes. Then slowly and deliberately, the wolf spoke. "Barrington," he asked in a gentle voice. "Barrington, why are you sitting in the snow?"
"Because it's Christmas Eve, and I don't have any family, and, well, you know, bunnies aren't any good to anyone."
"You're wrong. Bunnies are good," said the wolf. "Hey, listen, bunnies can hop, and they are very warm and furry." "What good is that?" Barrington sniffed. "Ah, it's very good. It's very good indeed," the wolf went on, "because it is a gift that bunnies are given. It's a free gift with no strings attached. And every gift that is given to anyone is given for a reason. Someday, Barrington, someday you will see why it is good to hop, to be warm and furry." "But it's Christmas," moaned Barrington, "and I'm all alone. I don't have any family at all." "Of course you do," replied the great silver wolf. "Of course you do, Barrington. All the animals in the forest are your family. All the animals in the forest are your family, Barrington.
And then the wolf disappeared. He simply wasn't there. Barrington had only blinked his eyes, and when he looked, the wolf was gone. All of the animals in the forest are my family, thought Barrington. It's good to be a bunny. Bunnies can hop. That's a gift. And then he said it again. A gift. It's a free gift. Now, on in the night, Barrington worked. First, he found the best stick he could, and that was difficult because of the snow. Then hop, hop, hippity hop to Beaver's house. He left the stick just outside the door with a note on it that read, "Here's a good stick for your house. It is a gift. It's a free gift. No strings attached. Signed, a member of your family." Well, it's a good thing that I can hop, he thought, because the snow is really getting deep. Then Barrington dug and dug. Soon he had gathered together enough dead leaves and grass to make the squirrel's nest warmer. Hop, hop, hippity hop. He laid the grass and leaves just under the large oak tree and attached this message. A gift. A free gift from a member of your family. It was late when Barrington finally started home, and, well, I'll tell you, what made things worse was that he knew a blizzard was beginning. Hop, hop, hippity hop. Soon poor Barrington was lost. The wind howled furiously, and it was very, very cold. It certainly is cold, he thought. Well, it's a good thing I'm so furry, but if I don't find my way home pretty soon, I might freeze. Then all of a sudden there was a squeak, squeak, squeak. And he saw it. A baby field mouse lost in the snow. And the little mouse was crying. Hello, little mouse, Barrington called. Hey, don't cry. Don't cry. I'll be right there. Hippity hop. And Barrington was beside the tiny mouse. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'll never know. I'll never find my way home, and I don't know. I know I'm going to freeze, said the little mouse. Oh, you're not going to freeze, said Barrington. Hey, I'm a bunny, and bunnies are very furry and warm. You just stay right where you are, and I'll cover you up. Barrington lay on top of the little mouse and hugged him so tight, the tiny fellow felt himself surrounded by warm fur. He cried for a while, but soon, snug and warm, the little mouse fell asleep. Now, Barrington had only two thoughts that long, cold night. First, he thought, it's good to be a bunny. Bunnies are very furry and warm. And then when he felt the heart of the tiny mouse beating regularly, he thought, all the animals in the forest are my family. All the animals in the forest are my family. Those were his thoughts that night. Now, the next morning, the field mice found their little boy asleep in the snow, warm and snug, beneath the furry carcass of a dead bunny. The relief and excitement was so great that they didn't even think to question where the dead bunny had come from. And, well, as for the beavers and the squirrels, they still wonder which member of their family left the little gift for them that Christmas Eve. After the field mice had left, Barrington's frozen body simply lay in the snow. There was no sound except that of the howling wind, and no one anywhere in the forest noticed the great silver wolf who came to stand beside that brown lop-eared carcass. But the wolf did come. And he stood there without moving or saying a word all Christmas Day until it was night. And then he disappeared into the forest. And that's the end of the story. So we'll take a little break, okay? And you come back. We'll talk about that. But think, from the crib to the cross. All right, everybody. I'm Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright.
Oh, hello, elves.
Hello, Santa.
Why are you singing?
Santa, we're practicing to sing on the Winds of Change Christmas program.
Oh, you silly elf. Winds of Change will be featuring the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul.
Santa, can I sing with them?
You silly elf. Would you like to get a lump of coal in your stocking?
On Monday, December 25th, Christmas Day, from noon until 1, enjoy the Christmas music of the Daughters of St. Paul on Winds of Change on AM 750.
I would be really happy to sing.
You are a silly elf.
We are the students of St. Stan LaFosca Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststanschicago.org. ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So, they were saying it's a sad story, but this is reality, and this is really this is a Christmas story. There's a realism to it, because I say from the crib to the cross, you know, and why did God come? He came to lay down his life, like Barrington laid down his life, you know.
You know, it's funny.
What's funny? It's not funny.
Well, no, it's not a funny story.
I'm just kidding.
But I just realized something about myself. I don't need the Christmas songs. I don't need all the everything that's involved, but a story like this, it just puts it all in perspective for me.
Sure.
Especially when you, and we were talking about how you kind of
the delivery.
Yeah. Not only the delivery, but it's just that you can put yourself in all of these different characters, and it's almost like, well, it's exactly like the Bible. The parables, and
it is a kind of a parable,
right? But you see yourself, or smart people. I'm not saying I'm smart, but I mean, one person could, when you start looking at all the characters. It's what I love about scripture so much. We see each other in these.
Right. We have to read ourselves into that. I always say the gospels are written in it's written anew. In every generation, we are the characters in the story. We've got to put ourselves in the story. The joy of giving, you know, when he realized, you know, that and he did so in all humility, because he didn't even identify himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to just tell you, just it comes to my mind. We had we have a new student. And this is why I tell you, and a shout out to all those who have donated and who are praying for our students, because we've got a campaign going on, and people have been extremely generous. We want to get people into the school who otherwise couldn't be in the school. And we've lost, you know, government through the government, scholarship money, Empower, TCS, and all that's gone away. So we really have to, you know, do what we can to get the money to provide scholarship to get students into the school. And we've got a new student, and he's in the sixth grade, but he came with the eighth graders to the class because it was only his second day of school. And this guy, I'm telling you, and even today at Mass, he's got this got this great big bushy, you know, this curly hair, real lots of hair, and he's one of the most joyful kids, and so extroverted. And, you know, I've got the eighth graders, and I'm asking questions, and he raises his hands right away, and he's got,
got all the answers.
What a beautiful child.
Joy to have him.
It is such a joy. And even the altar service today when they came in, the guys, I said, by the way, I said, that Nicholas is quite something, isn't it? And they all said, you better believe it. Yeah, he's just great. But because I asked, you know, we were talking the other day about Christmas stories, and I asked the students, you know, if they had any special Christmas story that they wanted to talk about, and he told his. He was the first one. He raised his hand, and he talked about, you know, at night, you know, gathering the family, and they eat, and, you know, then he says they go to bed, and he says, I always get up really, really early. I'm first to get up. I put on all the Christmas music and wake everybody up. And I mean, but the way he told it, you know, it was just the beauty, the innocence of a child, that joy. I mean, I wish I could bring him here and let him talk to you. I got to get him on the radio because he's really very one of these really unique persons, but what a beautiful child. And it wasn't there wasn't anything spectacular about the story, but it was just his love for Christmas and his love for his family and the beautiful joy of being able to eat together and just how he would get up and just put on all the Christmas carols. And he says, I just love the Christmas music, and I wake everybody up with the Christmas carols, and then we open our presents. And yeah, beautiful, very, very nice. But anyway, yeah, Christmas, you know, it comes again, you know, Christmas comes yet again. And lest we forget, and this is, you know, if we can relate this to the little parable, Barrington Bunny, God, think about it. Not that you don't know this, you know this. But lest we forget, God took his place in the world he created, and subjected himself to its wounds. Wounds wrought by disobedience and rebellion against his benevolence and loving all things into life. Think about that. Wounds wrought by disobedience and rebellion against his benevolence in loving all things into life. Freedom and peace are marked by love, but their realization rests with all of us. Love is not love if it is forced upon us. He does not force love on us. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, fully revealed in Jesus Christ, is neither a tyrant nor a deceiver. His love is incarnate. Love refused in the beginning gave way to an ever-present battle between the forces of light and those of darkness. The history of man's salvation from the evil of sin and death was prophesied in the beginning with the promise of a woman who would emerge on the stage of history and whose offspring would crush the head of the serpent. And that prophecy is fulfilled when the Blessed Virgin Mary is conceived without original sin. The drama then begins to unfold when she gives her yes to God's inbreaking into history in the miraculous conception of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, hidden in the sanctuary of her womb, will see the light of day and the dark of night under the radiance of the star of Bethlehem. Christmas comes yet again, and we wonder why, in our time, the peace of the season is disrupted yet again. But, lest we forget, the peace of the Holy Mother and the Holy Child on that holy night was short-lived. Herod's unleashing of terrorism resulted in their flight into Egypt. Evil incarnate will follow them from the crib to the cross. Enduring peace is fully realized only beyond the door of death. In the interim, against the powers and principalities opposed to God, the Holy Family showed us a way. And what is a way? Unceasing prayer, courage, and perseverance for the cause of our salvation. From the beginning, under the protective care and watchful eyes of the patriarch, Holy Joseph, Saint Joseph, all three lovingly fulfilled the will of God the Father. Christmas comes yet again, and hope endures in spite of apostasy. And apostasy, as you know, is a going away from God, away from the faith. Hope endures because a remnant always confounds the wise of this world, forward moving with the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail. And as it was 2,000 years ago, so it is today. On Christmas, we contemplate God's visitation to us in the flesh of our humanity. In the here and now of life, we have a view to what lies ahead because we are connected to the past. And that was what the reading today actually is, the Magnificat, where the blessed in the visitation, after Elizabeth says, "Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy in my womb. Blessed is she who trusted that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled." Did we talk about that the other day? But that was the affirmation, confirmation. There was no cell phone, no computer, no telephone. Mary received the Annunciation, gave her consent, her fiat, her assent to do the will of God. Elizabeth, in her old age, conceived John the Baptist in a natural way. Her husband was Zacharias. John the Baptist, a forerunner to the Christ, who will point out, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. But Mary in the Magnificat, she, and this is, I think, a very, very important point, she reaches way back into history in her prayer, and she thanks God for having been faithful to the promise he made to our father, she said, our father, Abraham. So she's reaching back 2,000 years, nearly 2,000 years. And she's looking well into the future, and she says, all generations to come will call me blessed. I told the children, I said, so our lady is saying, she's looking in the future, and she says, the students at St. Stanislaus Kostka will call me blessed. You know, they got to hear that, right? That's very personal to them. So think about the prophecy being fulfilled. Every time we pray the Hail Mary, the Ave Maria, we're acknowledging that she is blessed, right? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Yeah, so we have to be connected to the past and live so as to ensure peace for the future, but be in the here and now, in the present, because this is where God is. We want to fulfill the will of God. And as we forget, you know, this holy infant that we're going to hear on Christmas Day at one of the Masses is Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace, the covenant of the newborn King of the Jews is universal and eternal. God prepared a nation, formed a nation, purged a nation, so that from this nation the Messiah would come and give the mandate to go out to all nations, to preach repentance of sin, conversion of life, metanoia, a change of heart, a turning to God, to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to be adopted and brought into the family, the mystical body of Christ. By virtue of our baptism, we have communion with God. In the renewed offering of our lives in the Eucharistic sacrifice and our partaking in the banquet of the Word made flesh, we are renewed in this covenant, in this world, committed to this world, but not of this world. We will withstand the onslaught of forces that seek to destroy the Christmas covenant. And those forces are very prevalent all around us, the powers and the principalities. And again, here God never deceived us. So in this world, we are in this world, we are committed to this world, but not of this world. We will withstand the onslaught of forces that seek to destroy the Christmas covenant. Enduring freedom and peace are marked by the love of God, who spared himself nothing of what we suffer, taking on our flesh. We have his promise that he will remain with us, and he is true to his word. I mean, here we are 2,000 years later, 4,000 years if we go back to the covenant made to Abraham, or all the way to the very beginning, right? How many covenants? There's many, 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 many covenants leading to the covenant of Abraham, where he would form that nation, and in from that nation the Messiah would come, and the mandate, God taking on our flesh to redeem us, to atone for our sins, and then sending us to proclaim, call people to repent, convert, metanoia, conversion, to be baptized, to be brought into the mystical body, to know, to love, and to serve God as he has fully revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ. We have his promise that he will remain with us, and he's true to his word. Here we are 2,000 years later. And, you know, if you look back, yeah, there's good prevails. Good always prevails. We suffer in the process, you know. I remember those last words of Jesus, the very last words he spoke to the disciples as a group in the farewell discourse after he instituted the Holy Eucharist, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane on the eve of his crucifixion, his atoning, redeeming death, the why for which he came, to atone for our sins. But the last words to the apostles, and there were 11, because Judas Iscariot had already led. He had already fled. The scripture says that Satan went into him, and it was night, and he left, and he went. He sold him out. He sold Jesus out. And his last words, the very last words to the apostles, the 11 that were there, he says, you're going to have trouble in this world. But he says, have courage. Have courage, be at peace, I've conquered the world. And to those he spoke, to whom he spoke, all were martyred. All were martyred, save John, who was imprisoned for having given witness to Jesus. And he was, of course, the only one that went to the cross, right? But the others were martyred, like Barrington, no? Barrington laid down his life. The bunny, you know, you see, but we've got to understand, it's wrong to say this is not the mind of the church, to say that, to repeat the words of Jesus in the farewell discourse, if you belong to me, the world will not accept you as its own. On account of my name, you will be hated. You will be persecuted. You're going to have trouble, but have courage, be at peace. I've conquered the world. And so Christmas, you know, it's, as I said, you know, the joy, the peace of that holy night turns violent very quickly. And from the crib to the cross, Satan is awake and wanting to devour or to destroy both the child and the mother. You know, Simeon said, "Woman, this child is destined for the fall, and for the rise of many, a sign that will be rejected. And you, a sword will pierce your heart, that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare." So we can't celebrate Christmas without, you know, having in mind the identity and the destiny of this child, which is, you know, to lay down his life on the wood of the cross, the wood of a tree. And again, we decorate the Christmas tree to celebrate the victory, that we don't stop at the cross, but we see beyond the cross into the glory and the light of the resurrection. So we have his promise that he will remain with us. He's true to his word. Enduring freedom and peace are marked by the love of God, who spared himself nothing of what we suffer. Nobody can say God doesn't understand. He doesn't know the pain and the suffering of my mind, my body, my soul, or my spirit. He spared himself nothing. But again, have courage, be at peace. I've conquered the world. In this world you will have trouble, but have courage. So it rests with us to remain with him and to remain in his kingdom, which is really under attack. Come what may, as we approach 2024 in the year of our Lord, we don't know what awaits us, but we know that God is true to his word, and we want to stay true to him. We do not cave. We do not compromise. We do not appease the world. We don't put ourselves under the dominion of the spirit of this age, nor do we allow any Luciferian spirit to take possession or of our lives in any way whatsoever. We ask the Lord just that we be infused with his spirit, fed with his body, that we not collapse as we go on our way, and that he reproduce his life in us. Okay, everybody, thanks for being with us. Again, Merry Christmas. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace, peace, ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see?